Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
Coming to you live from 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming live on iowacatholicradio.com and the Iowa Catholic Radio app that Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company have been kind enough to support and allow us to come to you today wherever you are across the world. Bud, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. You know, they talk about the dog days of summer, Bo. Do you feel like there's something similar in winter, like early February? It feels, you know, when winter first shows up, it's kind of like we're frolicking in the snow. But at this point, are you ready for a change or,
I think what you're saying is football is over. Okay. And if that's the case, I agree with
Maybe
you.
Maybe those are the doldrums I'm
The feeling. Doldrums of watching the Patriots come back and ruin everybody who doesn't like them's day. But I'm sure all of you out there in Iowa land are big Patriots fans and are very happy. Well, anyway, the last thing I'll say about this is the last four big sporting events have been absolutely crazy, and you've had to watch till the very end. So,
well, you even throw in the college football championship NCAA tournament, and God is just giving us buzzer beaters and last second.
God loves his children, people. Well, we're coming to you, like we said, from Mercy Live Up Studio. And we are underwritten, as always, first of all, by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where Bud and I both are gainfully employed, at least as of today's date. We hope that keeps going up. Thanks, guys. No, they also, of course, underwrite our show. And we have a wonderful event coming up for them. Bud, you want to tell everybody what they're invited on campus to come do?
Well, this Thursday, February 9th, Sister Patricia Talone will be on campus. And she's going to be speaking about Catholic understanding. How do we think about is it access to healthcare, right?
Or healthcare in general. Even.
Healthcare, yeah.
In the spirit of the Sisters of Mercy, she is a Sister of Mercy, and we look forward to having you guys there tomorrow. 6 o'clock is when food starts, but then, like good Catholics, we wait about 15 minutes before everybody starts talking or whatever.
Yeah. So attendees, they can park in the visitor lot that's just west of campus, and then go through the doors there, and there'll be signs and people directing them to the talk.
Right off of 235, 6th Street and 7th Street, depending on which way you're coming. But we'd love to have you there for the Faith and Healing speaker series. Mercy College of Health Science, who underwrites our show. Also underwriting our show, Cartridge World. 2 weeks ago, we got to have the big honcho in. That was a lot of fun.
That was a fun conversation. And, you know, Cartridge World, it provides all your printing needs for businesses, home offices, college students, busy moms. They're located at 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. They're also committed to recycling and environmentally friendly printing.
Yes, so it's wonderful to be able to be underwritten by two great people that we know so well, not only Mercy College of Health Science, where we work, but also Joe over at Cartridge World. Wonderful man, wonderful business. We hope that you support them as they support us. Well, Bud, today, you know, we decided, why not try to make everybody mad?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I think it's obvious that there is a sort of elephant in the room if you are someone who talks about social teaching. That obvious one is the big debate about immigration and immigration policy and refugees. The one thing, so we decided that it would be sort of silly to have a radio show and not in some way broach the topic. But before you turn off the dial, Bud and I really want to point out that what we're not interested in, what we will not do, is try to elucidate or fight for or champion one side of the disagreement or another. For one thing, we can't hear what you're saying. It's a one-sided conversation. For another, this is 30 minutes. And every discussion I've gotten into so far about this year, Bud, has been a good hour or two. And that's not like we've been able to finish the conversation when we started them either.
Yeah, so as we've done throughout this show, we want to get back into the rich treasures of the Catholic tradition on this topic, and also talk about how as Catholics do we navigate disagreement, because there's times where we have to have tough conversations where we don't always see eye to eye. So we're going to highlight what the church has to say concretely about these matters, but then talk about, you know, going forward, what does this mean in our day-to-day lives?
In fact, I would say that the emphasis on the show is we're going to use this opportunity in history to talk about this deeper question. Is there is so many things in the history of the church that we've disagreed about on the ground practically concretely. How do we go forward as brothers and sisters talking about things that we disagree? All that and more in about a minute, so please stick around. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud.
Register now for the upcoming Ladies Mosaic Luncheon Thursday, February 9th at St. Pius X Catholic Church. Our guest speaker is Leisha Barkas with Mercy Comfort Health Center for Women. Bring a friend and enjoy a free lunch and a cup of tea. A woman's physical health is crucial to a fulfilled life and family relationships. We want to share this empowering new resource with all women in our community while we enjoy a comfortable cup of tea. Go to iowacatholicradio.com to reserve your space. Limited seating, be sure to reserve your spots now.
Thank you, Harborview Medical, for support of the Dowling Sports 365. Harborview Medical offers the most advanced stem cell treatment in ankle and foot, elbow, back, knee, hip, or shoulder areas. The new Regenix procedures are the next generation of orthopedic recovering, providing an alternative to surgeries with superior outcomes that get you back doing the things you love faster. Harborview Medical, 515-305-2131, or online at harborviewmedical.com.
We're back with The Uncommon Good in the Mercy Live Up studio. Bo Bonner here with Dr. Bud Marr. Bud, we've talked about that we're going to talk about a prickly subject in order to talk about a more prickly subject. So the idea is we'll talk about the thing that's on most people's lips talking about politics today, immigration and refugees. But in order to talk about a more basic reality, what do Christian brother and sisters do? What do we do who are part of one family in the church when we disagree so much?
Yeah, this is an excellent opportunity, Bo, I think, to go deeper into the tradition. I think as Catholics, we don't want to be reactionary in the sense that, like, you know, this topic has been around for a while. And I don't think there's been a president in recent memory who has had a policy that either side was completely happy with.
Right.
And so this has really come into the fore in the public discourse. And now there's sort of this, in some ways, like a frantic conversation about it. There's more heat than light. And really the Catholic tradition, as we were talking about before the show, gives us a lot of resources to think about this in a deep, really helpful way.
Yeah. So to not even quote from a church resource that's contemporary, but neither very ancient, and there's a lot of ancient resources. Pope Pius XII actually wrote an apostolic constitution, Exul Familia Nazarethana. Don't worry about writing that down out there, folks.
They'll be on the midterm.
Yeah, but Pope Pius XII talked about this very issue in terms of America, although, of course, about 50 years ago. So this is a little bit long for us. We usually don't try to read these, but this is very important for what we're talking about. So he goes, "The natural law itself, no less than devotion to humanity, urges that ways of migration be open to these people, for the Creator of the universe made all good things primarily for the good of all. Since land everywhere offers the possibility of supporting a large number of people, the sovereignty of the state, although it must be respected, cannot be exaggerated to the point that access to this land is, for inadequate or unjustified reasons, denied to needy and decent people from other nations, provided, of course, that the public wealth," and by this word, it's more like commonwealth, he's not talking about money, "considered very carefully, does not forbid this." So in this, we have two principles that, you know, I think sometimes people go, is maybe there's so much argumentation about immigration because the church is muddy on the issue. I actually think there's a lot of disagreement because the church is so clear with her two principles that make the prudential decisions, like the decision on the ground, more difficult. So you heard Pius XII refer to a very ancient tradition in the church, the universal destination of all goods. And the idea of this is, of course, not communism or socialism, but this idea that God made the world replete with resources so that human beings together in community can satisfy their temporal needs and also order their life towards supernatural ends. So the idea is any sort of use of land or resources that doesn't do this or doesn't have this in mind is not in accordance with the will or the mind of God. Church teaching has also shown that there's a lot of ways that you can work this out, that it's not necessarily obviously going to be this society or that. It depends. But that on the background is this idea that God has given resources so that they can be used for as many people as possible. On the other hand, he says this repeatedly, right? you shouldn't overblow the importance of the sovereignty of a nation or a state. But on the other hand, it is it's the responsibility of rulers, but also the people of those nations to do so that does not disrupt the Commonwealth. So how are we going to do this and integrate people into society? How are we going to do this and not tax resources to make a larger human, tragedy? Both of these poles have to be held in common. And so you get people who go far past either side. You'll have people who talk about completely open borders. You have people who will talk about completely shut borders. Most people are within that spectrum, but the church herself is even within that spectrum, trying to hold these together. The frustrating thing starts to be is we want to be a unified people in the church, but when it comes to prudential decisions on the ground, it's hard to imagine how are we going to hold both of those things in common. And I think that's why so many people get a bit frustrated today.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that some of the complexities or some of what can cause disagreement is you mentioned those two very clear principles, and then you talked about prudential judgments. Prudential judgments would involve what actual decisions are we make in accordance with those principles. Well, there's no, excuse me, there's no magic number necessarily where you can say, okay, now right. We haven't operated in an egoistic manner. And there's also, on the reverse, there's not an easy way to discern when you have a just or a good integration of peoples within a society. It's not like we have like you use the little device to test
right.
the chemical makeup of your pool or whatever, your swimming pool.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that with society.
Right. It's not like, oh, well, we've taken in X amount of immigrants and refugees. We've done our job now. Or, oh, now a certain percentage of the people of a nation is immigrants, refugees. We need to stop. It is time dependent, and it's place dependent and people dependent. I think even just in our day and age, Europe, for instance, is facing a completely different question than us. Part of it being that the people immigrating there are more numerous. They're connected by land. We, by the virtue of living across the ocean, can think about these things in a different way. But we're also a bigger nation. We also have a bigger economy. These questions have to come into the prudential decisions that still allow these two people in good faith to argue. Now, what I know that's going to make a lot of people mad is they'll go, well, Bowen, but obviously you need to be on blank side. And the fact that you'll even listen to the other side shows that you're not serious. Now, there are people who aren't serious. Yeah. There are people who aren't arguing in good faith. And there are people who are completely outside of the church. And we're not talking about those people. What I am trying to say, though, is within the church, reasonable, good faith Catholics disagree on a whole host of things. And on this issue, they've been disagreeing for years because it is a prudential decision. And brothers and sisters out there listening to us, it's imperative that if we're going to make a real difference on this issue in our communities, that we need to do a better job of demonstrating through witness how you disagree in a holy manner. That people who disagree can actually disagree profitably and hopefully come better to understanding God's will in their individual lives. So what we want to do today is not give you four easy tips, because there's nothing easy about this. And tips make it sound like that if you follow these, everything will work out. So instead, what we want to give you is four difficult thorns that we hope are lodged deep into your heart, so that when the difficulty of a brother and sister in Christ disagreeing with you properly brings a certain amount of pain, but also a way forward. And those four thorns roughly are, how do we deal with this in prayer? How do we deal with this using divine revelation, so scripture and what the church teaches? How do we use reason to think through these things well? And finally, how do we use our experiences to try to bridge a gap between the brother and sister that disagrees with us? So, Bud, with the idea of prayer, what comes to mind to you when we want to talk about how prayer can be utilized to deal with difficult situations on the ground?
Well, it seems to me that when we talk about Catholic social teaching or living out the faith in general, that sometimes we can fall into thinking about these matters in a very abstract way. So I love all of humanity. Sometimes thinking in those terms can actually distract us from loving the neighbor in front of us. As we pray, I think God gives us more of a clear vision of how we walk this path. So, for instance, our Lord admonishes us to love our enemies. that's really difficult. The first step maybe in moving towards that direction is to pray for those who persecute us. Now, when we say these things, that can sound sort of sentimental, loving our enemies, you know, like we just all need to love each other. I think with both loving our enemies or with a difficult issue like this one, the call is not to a sentimentality, but to enter into a deeper prayer life so that we know what justice looks like. God asks us to thirst for justice. And so as we do this, I think we will move more deeply into the Catholic faith. When you were quoting Pius XII, I was thinking there's a way where when we get caught up in the arguments at a broader level, we can begin to think the options are policy X or the rejection of policy X.
Right.
Where I think, you know, the Catholic faith is so transformative, even or especially on these matters. And so what Pius XII was saying and what prayer can spur us onto is living a different sort of witness for our neighbors about what this looks like.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. We're talking about what we do when brothers and sisters in Christ disagree, and particularly using the issue at hand with immigration and refugees to talk about this. I think with prayer, one of the things that we need to be very cognizant about, you made this point about abstraction, we need to ask God particularly to help us out on these matters. So, God, is there any sort of ignorance or fear or pride involved in the why I am defending the position I am? I'm not saying it's default that there is, but we've all met people that have pride and fear and ignorance driving the way they think. But if we know others like that, perhaps we have that going on as well. Lord, please deliver me from any ignorance, pride, or fear that makes me unable to hear what my brother and sister in Christ has to say. I think that's important to remember. The second would be revelation. How do we use Scripture? The obvious thing to say is how not to use Scripture, which is as a proof text, because you can go find a proof text in the Bible for nearly anything. I'm not saying everything that is brought up in today's debate is a proof text, but certainly there's ways in which if you're going to easily throw out some sections of the Bible without looking at others, that it's at least unfair, and second, I think maybe not really, it's actually counterproductive, because then people don't listen to the witness of Scripture if we give too easy of a proof text for it.
Yeah, so maybe to open up a Pandora's box, because this is another thorny issue, but for example, with the particular topic that we've been discussing today, you'll get verses in the Old Testament that say things like, "You shall not wrong or oppress a resident alien, for you were once strangers in the land of Egypt." And at first glance, that seems very applicable to what we're talking about. And I think it is very applicable for the kind of vision that you want of the world. That being said, so for instance, as a kind of counterweight, there's all sorts of things that the people of Israel did in the Old Testament in relation to those around them that I think you would say wouldn't be interpreted as open borders necessarily.
Right.
So again, what you're saying about proof texting, you don't want to just pull one verse out of Scripture and I guess in conversations use that as a sledgehammer or a way to shut down the conversation. This verse from Exodus says X. Therefore, my position is correct.
I think one of the things we need to look through when we're looking at Scripture is find the Scripture that makes us uncomfortable. You know, if you're utilizing, like you said, Scripture as a weapon, you're going to have to be okay with it when it explodes in your face. And so one of the things we need to be willing to do is use Scripture to challenge us. So if we find a Scripture that we think challenges the other position, and I know that there are for both, we need to go seek out that other Scripture that challenges us to make us think more deeply, what is it that God's calling me particularly to do? And again, I always go back to this. If you're using Scripture abstractly, then it's just to win arguments. But how in the here and now is Scripture leading us to do something particular? The third thorn is reason. And on this one, I'm going to go to my main man, Thomas Aquinas, for what I think is actually a very specific but helpful way to think about how am I going to argue a case with my brother and sister in Christ who disagrees with me. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologia has the disputatio method. This is the weird way in which he writes the Summa. It makes some people kind of like, you know, hard to read it, but it's the actual scholastic medieval disputation method, how they would have arguments to try to ascertain a case. And what you'll see is he starts out with a question. It's always a whether question, whether blank can be this or that. So the idea is you try to get as much as possible to a question one way or the other. But then Thomas does something very interesting. That's what I want to focus on today. He doesn't start with his argument. He starts with the objections of people who will disagree with his answer. And then he goes even further and makes a case for them that sometimes is better than they've ever made. Oftentimes people have noticed that Thomas makes better arguments for his opponents than the opponents make. He will strengthen their arguments better than they make their own. And he does this, he makes the objections, and he lets those stand. He then, like, talks about what an authority has said. He makes his main argument, and then he takes the time to answer every one of those objections in kind and in case. Brothers and sisters, if we can take the time to think, what would the opposite side truly argue? Not the straw man, not the red herring, not the easy knockdown argument, but if we would take the time to make their case better than they are, not only is that charity, not only will we maybe empathize and see them better, but our argument will be better because we will have to rise to the occasion of making a good case.
Bo, I have a little confession to make on air. So on social media in the past, or near past, I've sometimes been guilty of, you know, trying to defeat my opponent in sort of a mixed martial arts metaphor.
Right.
Where it's like, what's that one zinger that I can come up with that would make them look silly? I'm going to ignore some of the evidence in front of me so I can frame the conversation in such a way that, you know, like I've pinned them 1, 2, 3 knockout, whatever it happens to be, you know. And, I think what you're saying with St. Thomas Aquinas precisely pushes against that way of arguing or disagreeing with our neighbors.
No, I think that's right. We have a very martial imagery. And as someone who loves to argue, people go, well, you just like to fight. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to completely deny that, but maybe Bo is the wrong person to be a poster child for this. But as I've grown older and maybe lazier and not as much wanting to fight, I've realized that the harder work is to think about what is my opponent really saying. And if I want people to actually stick around and have an argument with me, I need to be able to not just go like, oh, I hear what you're saying, so you're saying this. It's not like a technique to trick them. Yeah. It's to say, let's get what you are actually saying, so that when I talk, I'm not speaking past you. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. We have one more difficult thorn, we hope, lodged in your heart to help you when you have to talk with brothers and sisters that disagree. And I'm going to broadly call this one experience. Bud and I just got done taking students to the Catholic organization that resettles refugees. What's the exact?
Catholic Charities here in Des Moines.
Catholic Charities in Des Moines. And I was really appreciative that, you know, they didn't go into the order. They said this is what the order is, the executive order does. They didn't campaign on one side or the other. What they said is, what we still need is your help. There are still refugees here. There's still people that need help. And one thing that I'd say is, if you go and help an organization like that, they need volunteers a lot. There's a lot you can do. What I would say is, it's still not obvious what side you will come down on. But if you don't have that sort of experience to rely on, you might find that your arguments come out hollow. So if you're on one side and you go, you want to say X about what refugees are like, if you don't know refugees, that's not going to really hit like you think it will. On the other hand, if you're saying like, well, we need to welcome as many refugees as possible, have you seen what it's like on the ground? And I think that this is imperative, that we begin to live our lives where we experience in such a way that we can really show a well-formed, enfleshed argument that we're making.
Yeah, we don't have to get into the whole history of this morning, Bo, but, you know, our city, our state has a long history of being a place where refugees and immigrants are resettled here in the United States. And so as Catholics, as the church, we have a real concrete opportunity to love our neighbor in this way. And like you're saying, if you were to walk down to Catholic Charities today or ride the bus or take your car, they would have all sorts of opportunities where you could put flesh on this matter. But I think it's a great point that regardless of where you fall on the spectrum, just by doing this, it's not necessarily going to change your mind, or it's like, oh, all of a sudden I see the light. And hopefully it doesn't, you know, solidify you necessarily. You are open to being challenged. But the key here is, the key here is love for the neighbor in an active, charitable manner.
Right. And the love for the neighbor, which is maybe the refugee, but the love for the neighbor here who's already here, which is these both poles, right? That the universal destination of goods, that if we have enough, we should help. But on the other hand, that it's our job and responsibility to make sure this can be done in an orderly way. And friends, that's what we're hoping for. I know many of you are probably mad because we've tried not to show any hands, you know, where we fall on this situation. Many of you probably wish we would go stronger one way or the other to make this case. But no matter what it is, immigration, refugees, or some other thing we disagree on, that's what we need to do, to use prayer, revelation, reason, experience, not in an easy way, but in a deep, almost like painful way, to grow together when we disagree with others, brothers and sisters in the Church of God. This is The Uncommon Good. We will be back in a minute with our final segment. Thank you for listening to us and not throwing any tomatoes at your radio. We'll hear talk to you in a bit. Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting The Uncommon Good with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr.
We're heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network.
A fun and engaging new show that we hope our listeners will love. Be sure to listen.
Register now for the upcoming Ladies Mosaic Luncheon Thursday, February 9th at St. Pius X Catholic Church. Our guest speaker is Leisha Barkas with Mercy Comfort Health Center for Women. Bring a friend and enjoy a free lunch and a cup of tea. A woman's physical health is crucial to a fulfilled life and family relationships. We want to share this empowering new resource with all women in our community while we enjoy a comfortable cup of tea. Go to iowacatholicradio.com to reserve your space. Limited seating. Be sure to reserve your spots now.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, providing commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. 515-222-4860. Joe at tworiversglass.com.
We're back with The Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. We have today for you an unbrilliant question. Bud, so we were talking about all this contemporary issues. The question is, why do we listen to the people in tradition? Why is it that Pius XII, who's long dead, or St. Ambrose, or St. Thomas, or all these people, why do we got to listen to these old dead fuddy-duddies who don't know what it's like to live in 2017?
Well, speaking of old fuddy-duddies, whenever the topic of tradition comes up, I often think of a quote from one of our famous authors, G.K. Chesterton. He said, "Tradition means giving a vote to the most obscure of all classes, our ancestors. It is the democracy of the dead. Tradition refuses to submit to the small and arrogant oligarchy of those who merely happen to be walking about." And so for me, Chesterton there is getting at the point that there's a sort of arrogance to say, like, there's all this wisdom that's been accumulated over the ages, but we in this moment have, you know, knowledge or whatever, an understanding that they lacked. For Catholics, this is particularly important because in a way we reverence the tradition. There are certain figures that we look to that we call doctors of the church. Someone like St. Therese of Lisieux or St. Augustine, that their writings in a particular way captured the truth of the gospel. I was recently listening to a Catholic speaker, and he was pointing out before some of the Bible was even written, and certainly before it was canonized, you know, there were followers of Jesus Christ who were practicing the faith, who were celebrating the Eucharist, and there was an apostolic tradition. So even before the books were around, Catholics were living out and teaching the faith. Now, that's not in any way to denigrate Scripture, by no means. You know, Scripture has a pride of place in terms of divine revelation. But we can't, for one thing, we can't escape tradition. It's the water that we swim in. So to say we're not going to listen to tradition would just be a form of self-denial. But I think we can move deeper into the faith and have a more faithful practice insofar as we begin to internalize those who captured the faith in a particularly profound manner.
And also, we believe in the communion of saints, of course. So all of these saints in this tradition we talk about is not this dead past, but they do live in heaven. I like how Chesterton puts it. They're not walking about here, but they are in the choir of heaven. And that's a way, you know, the four thorns we're talking about, prayer, revelation, reason, and experience. You know, if you pray and ask a saint to help you read the Bible or think through these things or even to guide your experiences, that's a way to really meld together all four and entrust them to the saints. Well, Bud, I think we dealt with a thorny issue and the thorny issue behind the thorny issue. I hope people will still tune in next week, but I also really hope that people have found this helpful because I know we didn't talk specifically about policy issues, but I do hope that people are able to utilize these things when they get in discussions with their friends and their family from now on.
If you want to go deeper and you don't know where to start, I know this year the radio station is doing this great program We're at 5 a.m. They're reading through the Bible and the catechism.
Yes.
You can also find these podcasts online. So if you're unlike me and you're able to wake up at 5 a.m.
Right.
Well, I guess if you have the internet, it doesn't matter. But just making this a regular practice in your life, read through the Bible in a year, could be a great way to grow deeper in the faith and to be spurred on with these thorns that you're talking about, Bo.
Yeah, so even in these difficult times, friends, when we might have so much that we disagree with, this is our prayer that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, would reign in your hearts, between friends, in your family, in our city and state, definitely in our nation, but in the entire world. This has been The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Maher. We will see you guys next week. God bless, and thank you for listening.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.